Hey, everybody, it's Ben and Rob. We're your hosts from Rise.TV, bringing you the answers that will leave you on the edge of wonder and probably the edge of a few other things, too.
That's true. And right now, everyone is talking about UFOs. It's been trending on Twitter for the last like month, practically, which are being caught on camera all the time. We actually found an account of a CIA officer saying aliens are real, along with real footage of a UFO that was the inspiration for Steven Spielberg and strange monoliths showing up on the moon and on Mars.
And we'll also talk about how the media temporarily stopped using weather balloon as an excuse because Santa seems much more plausible, right? So join us for a discussion that goes beyond Roswell with modern footage. Plus, we'll give you our top list of worst UFO reports we've ever seen. And we'll see you out
on the edge.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm wearing my most romantic Christmas sweater.
That's exciting. Great. I have my Star Wars Christmas sweater.
I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, it's the Death Star, but X-Wing.
Oh, I thought that was an X-Wing.
Well, it's the X-Wing, but it's like attacking the Death Star.
Well, that's good. At least it's doing something good with its life.
Yeah. Very small and tiny. I think that's the Death Star. I don't know anyway. So, how is everyone doing today?
We're a couple days shy of Christmas here.
Yeah, we are.
Big ice storm about to hit the Northeast. How are you doing down there in Florida?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's going to get a little bit cold, you know, like maybe low 30s.
That's not very cold.
For Florida, that's cold. So,
well, hey, I hear it's Hanukkah out there. So any of you celebrating Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah, all of our new friends.
Yeah, New York Times did a wonderful job celebrating Hanukkah by putting a swastika in their...
The crossword puzzle.
The crossword puzzle.
That was one of the more bizarre things I've seen over the last week, I think.
And they're like... Like New York Times even wrote on Twitter, they were really angry. Like, how, like, come on, people. And it's like, what are you talking about? I mean, you're like, you know, with everything going on with Kanye and like all the sensitive stuff, and you just like post it. Like
yeah. And like those black dots on the, like the singular, like black dots, like indicating the form of the actual swastika.
Yeah.
It was entirely like on purpose, you know.
And then like it had to go through multiple people. Someone had to create it.
They all looked
at it, and like everyone's like, "Oh yeah, this is no problem."
That's how the editing and copy editing process works.
Still think maybe they threw that out there on purpose for some reason. But.
I mean, it wasn't a snowflake.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I think they should have done it. So anyway, it's weird. I mean, like they should have done a snowflake, not should have done swastika, but
yeah, of course. Yeah.
I don't know. So many weird things going on at New York Times, you know, it's like, it's supposed to be all Jewish, but although they're the ones that, you know, denied the Holocaust when it was going on. So
well, and you know, we have to understand here that probably for the crossword puzzle, it's a much smaller amount of people that are approving that. It's probably one small team. So actually slipping that in, or it accidentally getting in, probably
it was not accidental.
I'm saying I don't think it was accidental either. What I am saying though, in the editorial process, you're dealing with small teams everywhere. And so if somebody wanted to get that in the paper, it was probably easier going through the crossword team than it was going through like the normal editorial channels.
Anyway, it's so bizarre that no one caught it anyway. No matter what the issue is, it came out as a swastika and that's on them. So
it's weird.
It's weird. I don't have any problems calling out the New York Times. They suck. They're horrible. And they had all those people that just walked out because that was a cool thing. Anyway, they've just been a horrible media for the last, like, you know.
They've been a scourge for a long time.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for them to, like, crash and burn at one point. So, and I'm not talking about the people that work there. You know, there's good people that work in every company and everything else. I'm just talking about as a media organization. Well, it's funny because all this stuff, we're going to be talking about UFOs, but all this stuff came out on Twitter about all these former FBI and CIA guys that all used to work at Twitter that were at one point in time worked for either the CIA or the FBI. So I'm like, great, now do the mainstream media and see how many people used to work for the CIA and FBI in the mainstream media.
Right.
That's going to be interesting. It was literally like 20 people that they showed. We'll get into that tomorrow, but it's like, no wonder. So, all right. Anyway, all right, let's get into some of this UFO stuff anyway. So there's kind of a cool documentary that kind of came out, and some of the stuff is a little bit older, some of the stuff is a little bit newer, but either way, I think this is kind of a good thing to lead off with, because I don't know, I think I knew this and I saw this before, but it kind of blew my mind, really. But it's 8 seconds of a video, and it was taken in I want to say it was taken in the 70s, and actually, Rob, you if you want to read a little bit of this.
Sure. It says actual 8 second film of UFO landing at Holloman AFB used in 1974 documentary. So as the UFO encounters and sightings by military air crews have increased tremendously, U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence rebrands UFOs as unidentified aerospace undersea phenomena.
Undersea.
So aerospace dash undersea. So
okay.
UAP.
UAP. UAUP, right?
Now it's hyphenated there. So that's
just UAPs.
Yeah.
So actually, you can start in 1971. Scroll down a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So it all began in 1971 when Emminger and producer director Alan Sandler were invited by the U.S. intelligence, either the United States Air Force or Department of Defense, to Norton Air Force Base in California to discuss the major UFO phenomena that had happened before and create a documentary film on it. Here is Robert Emminger. Scroll down, please. There is no official record of the reason why the U.S. Oh, you went too far.
Rob, okay. Can you read out of the doc instead?
Not right now.
Oh, okay.
Then can you read from here?
Yeah. So sorry. So Emminger said that he was promised by the U.S. Air Force officials to get authentic UFO landing footage that happened at the Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico in 1971. It showed the alien visitors emerging out of the craft that met with the U.S. military.
Which sounds exactly like, you know, the movie that we saw back in the day, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right?
Right, exactly. So even though Emminger was skeptical about it, the Air Force assured him that the footage was authentic. So one of the military's officials named Paul Schardel, who was in charge of the audio video department, said in 1988 in a national television broadcast with Mike Farrell that he had watched the 16 millimeter film of three disc-shaped crafts. One of them landed and the others flew away. So this is what he said. He said, I saw the footage of the three disc-shaped crafts. One of the crafts landed and two of them went away. It appeared to be in trouble because it oscillated all the way down. I'm sorry, what?
Oscillated.
Oh, oscillated all the way down to the ground. However, it did land on three pods. I'm not really sure what he means by pods. A sliding door opened, a ramp was extended, and out came three aliens. They were human-sized. They had an odd gray complexion and a pronounced nose. They wore tight-fitting jumpsuits, thin headdresses, and appeared to be communication devices in their hands.
They held a translator, I was told.
Yeah, sorry, that was repeated twice. Okay. In their hands. I'm not sure why. Anyway, the one I was reading. Yeah, it says that in their hands. I don't know why it says that twice, but okay. Anyway, so yeah, that's pretty interesting. So yeah, like what you said, Rob. Supposedly, you know, that's been this whole thing where Steven Spielberg was shown some real footage, and then he kind of recreated that using that's what we see Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And actually, there's a video, Lindsay, of these guys talking about it. If you want to play it, it does show some of the footage.
Wasn't there one scene in that was supposedly like real, Ben?
I don't think so. But from everything that we know, that whole scene at the end, is the exact same thing of what they're saying was in this video with these crafts and these aliens. It's just that, So anyway, and it's part, and then like that gave him inspiration supposedly to make an ET. And then, you know, he's made so many different, videos since then, or, movies, you know, about aliens. And he's always been really, really into this. So why don't we show a little bit of this, Lindsay?
With me is author and filmmaker Robert Emmenegger and former security manager and chief of requirements for the audiovisual program at Norton Air Force Base, Paul Schartel. Gentlemen, Mr. Emmenegger, how did you get involved with UFOs?
Well, it was in 1973 when I was vice president at Gray Advertising, and I took time out and went to Norton Air Force Base to explore subjects for specials related to the Defense Department. While discussing several of the subjects, Paul here told us about a film of a landing of alien crafts at Holloman Air Force Base about 3 years earlier.
What did you see, Mr. Shuttle?
I saw footage of three disc-shaped crafts. One of the craft landed and two of them went away.
Why did it land?
It appeared to be in trouble because it oscillated all the way down to the ground. However, it did land on three pods. A sliding door opened, a ramp was extended, and out came three aliens.
What did they look like?
Its eyes, they had odd gray complexion and a pronounced nose. They wore tight-fitting jumpsuits, thin headdresses that appeared to be communication devices. And in their hands, they held a translator, I was told. A Holloman base commander and other Air Force officers went out to meet them.
You actually saw these aliens on the film?
Yes.
This film footage sounded very, very special, and we wanted to use it as the ending of our television special.
And did you? Was it in your special?
Well, although the Pentagon had been very, very cooperative all the way, at the last minute, the film was confiscated and we lost the whole finale of our show. But what I saw and heard was enough to convince me that, you know, the phenomenon of UFOs is real, very real.
Mr. Shuttle, what did your superior officers tell you?
I was told it was theatrical footage the Air Force has purchased to make a training film.
Well, that sounds plausible, doesn't it?
Well, if it were a theatrical film, why didn't I have a record of this? It was my job to keep accurate records of all audiovisual purchases.
Interesting.
Is there any other reason that you feel this was not a theatrical film?
Yes, it was too real. The people who were shooting that day were Air Force personnel. Lucky for us, the day they were shooting, they were doing an acceleration test.
Yeah. It's too bad we couldn't get that footage from the Air Force. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us.
And to put the documentary out.
Wait, I thought it didn't show the light. I thought that was the one. Maybe it's this one that actually showed it. I was thinking it was that one. So
interesting.
Yeah. And it just basically is this light that just kind of hovers around. And then as it starts descending down, like the video just cuts off. And I actually, let's see. Yeah, this is
the hills of Holloman. And you see this brilliantly lit object at 6 o'clock in the morning coming over the hills, but it's in a distance. So you don't see it close up and you don't see the alien when the alien gets out. That's the classified part. So they want you to know that Holloman happened. And they allowed them to use this, the 8 seconds of the film, but the rest of the film, the classified part, was pulled.
Yep. That's the part that was pulled. And supposedly what the incident that they're talking about, again, was used in Steven Spielberg's movie. And actually, what's kind of fascinating is you know, Project Stargate, right?
Yeah.
So they were there's like some declassified documents on the CIA website, and it's in our doc, but actually they were a little bit lower. But what's interesting is that it's of it's just a photo of Devil's Tower, which is in I want to say Utah.
I was going to say Utah or Arizona, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the one that in the movie, in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, it looks like the Devil's Tower, except that they kind of do it a little bit differently in the movie. At least it's not in the same, like where it is in real life. And Lindsay, actually, if you just type in Devil's Tower, yeah, that's it. And actually, what a lot of people believe that this is a petrified tree.
Yeah, for like an ancient petrified tree.
A gigantic ancient petrified tree. This we're talking about like in the first Avatar, you know, that massive tree that's like that would be bigger than that. And that is in the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Well, what's interesting is that on the CIA website, they have this kind of black and white photo, and okay, I found it. Am I actually going to give it to Lindsay? Is that the Avatar tree, Lindsay?
Yes,
I think so.
Okay, cool.
Did you see Avatar, Ben?
You know what? I haven't yet, and I might actually see it tonight.
I heard it sucked. Like people were falling asleep.
Okay, I've heard a lot of different things about it, so I'm kind of curious.
Did you hear it was good?
Different people have said different things. Some people I've talked to said that, yeah, it was not very good. And there's like an agenda behind it. And some people were like talking about, because they harvest adrenochrome from whales to give them like extending life, I guess. And so some people are like, no, you shouldn't watch it for this. And I'm like, well, maybe we need to watch it then to see really what's going on in the movie. So
I don't like when people are like, don't watch that because you're bad if you watch it. It's like,
yeah, it's like,
I mean, when we're talking about movies here or like, yeah, Netflix, not like bad things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. So anyway, I hopefully I'll see it tonight. And if I do, then I'll tell you tomorrow.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah. So Lindsay, can you, I just typed in, or I just put in our Docker, the CIA report of the Devil's Tower, if you could pull this up. So yeah, what we're going to see is a black and white image. And so this was part of Project Stargate. So the interesting thing is, it's just this black and white photo here, but why this is on the CIA website is a little bit interesting. And it looks like they had remote viewers maybe even draw this.
Oh, the Devil's Tower is in Wyoming.
Oh, in Wyoming. Oh man.
Thank you, Kraken.
Utah. Sorry, guys.
Well, that was EO2 Dave's.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Now scroll down, Lindsay. Or go to the next page. I can't
also
remember.
McKaylin, okay. Hope McLeod told us that as well. Thank you.
So what's interesting is that it's like, what the hell is this? Right. But it looks like someone was remote viewing the Devil's Tower and then was recreating what they were experiencing without knowing what it was. And if you remember in the movie, this is exactly what happens in Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
They all these people start having dreams and these like visions, and they all like molding the same thing, but they don't really understand why.
Yeah.
Until at the end when they all like go there, and then it's like that's when the aliens come down. So it's just kind of interesting. But I think it's even more fascinating the fact that these were classified on the CIA and now they've been declassified. So I don't know. Project Stargate is another whole massive rabbit hole we can get into, but not in this episode. But yeah, so anyway, yeah, there they are. Is that part of the movie or is that like a still?
No, this is a part.
Yeah, these are from Close Encounters.
Yeah, okay.
He carves it into mashed potatoes. He carves it in his dining room.
I've never been so hungry for mashed potatoes in my life when I was watching that scene.
That is so funny. Yeah, and there he is, like when the finished thing that he's making that. And then I want to say there's other people doing the same thing, but I don't know if it focuses on it too much. But it's
there's
just
a Budweiser in the foreground there. Looks like an old Bud.
Dude, that is so
that looks like a picture of me in my senior year of college.
That's definitely subliminal marketing there. Like, we got to put this beer bottle in there because Budweiser is paying for this.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, it's just kind of funny. So, but yeah, you know, and this movie came out after all of this. This came out in 77. So it is, and all these things were happening in the early 70s. So it's very possible that someone went to Spielberg and was like, here's what's going on. So, yeah. Anyway, all right, a lot more stuff to get into. Next thing we have, oh wait, we need to play a trailer is the next thing that we need to get into, right?
Yeah, we probably should do that. What are we playing today, Lindsay?
Tonight at 9 o'clock, we are going to have a new episode for a new series, and that is your interview you guys did with Robert Earl White.
Oh, yeah.
It's our series called UFO Crash Brings Men in Black, because that really happened to him. So check out this trailer all about it.
I didn't want to go public without evidence because I knew no one would believe me. The entire incident happened about 5 to 6 minutes in total. And my mom shouts really loud, "Oh my God, what is that? What is that?" At no point did the two men in black or the Air Force gentleman ask my mother or her friends, what did they see? They looked human, but they did weird things. The men in black, they said, "You will report it as a helicopter crash, or we will take your son away." The men in black play the narrative and the media outlets skew it back out. This was 1991, Project Mockingbird in full effect.
Yeah, that was crazy. That whole, you guys have to check that out. That interview was like, was really interesting.
Yeah, so that's going to premiere tonight on Rise TV. Yeah, is it 9 p.m. or after our show, really? So, yeah. And speaking of like shows and everything, you were watching one of the new, what is it? Unexplained Mysteries or
Unsolved Mysteries?
Unsolved Mysteries. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you guys about what I found a little bit later in the show for sure. Okay,
cool. That sounds good. Yeah, I've been watching a few of those, but I haven't seen the UFO related one, although I did see it was like on there. So, let's see. What do we want to get into next? Okay, so we'll get to the CIA officer. So this ex-CIA officer, he's saying that humans are hybrids and there are classified UFO programs bigger than ATIP. I don't know if I necessarily believe that, you know, we're hybrids necessarily. I do feel that aliens have messed with our DNA.
I mean, I think that's what he means.
I'm thinking that's what he means too. So, but I think
people are generally confused, and yeah, and I really think that the like there are alien beings that I feel like are the ones responsible for trying to like release this, you know, like history of humankind, which is like that the aliens somehow created the human race, and it's nonsense, like it's not true. But I do think that they actually screwed like or have been responsible for screwing with certain types of DNA. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a mess. Like,
well, I mean, in a sense, isn't that kind of what the vaccine is kind of doing, like with the mRNA stuff? I mean, it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's even it's messier. Like, but gene, like
gene enhancing instead of
gene enhancing,
like, is that what it is?
I don't know if enhancing is the right word.
Yeah, I don't know about enhancing either.
Enhancing indicates like positive
gene manipulation,
right?
It's a better way of saying it. Well, anyway, this guy, his name is John Ramirez, and he's a retired CIA officer who specialized in ballistic missile defense system, and he worked from 1984 to 2009. And he holds a bunch of positions in all kinds of, like, you know, defense and, you know, director of national intelligence. And he worked in the office of the director of national intelligence and a bunch of other stuff anyway. But so during an interview, he claimed that the U.S. government does not currently discuss the UFO craft's occupants. I'm sorry. Like. The people who are flying it.
Aliens occupation.
Wonder what the aliens occupations are.
One of them is the head of the Pentagon. The other one is in, you know, the Biden administration.
Or the other one is Biden.
Yeah. A few of them are philanthropists and they buy a lot of land.
Yeah. Anyway, he said this is significant. This is a significant comment from Ramirez, who has asserted his opinion that UFOs may indeed represent a form of non-human intelligence. So even John Brennan, he was a former director of the CIA under Obama. I would have to stress he was not a great guy. He was one of the main people blocking the Hunter Biden laptop story. But anyway, he did say this, though. He said, you try to ensure that you have as much data as possible in terms of visuals and also different types of maybe technical collection of sensors that you can have at this time. He was saying that they are a different form of life. That's what he was referring to with these UFOs. And now what Lindsay is showing is a presentation that Ramirez actually gave. And this one in particular looks like it, they're high. At first,
hypothetical case study of UAP event. Hypothetical.
Yeah. Hypothetical. I really think that should be in quotes. But basically, it's kind of going through and saying more what they're not compared to what they think they are. It's like, well, here's what we kind of know. We can rule out this, we can rule out that. It's not this, it's not that. And it doesn't really say, well, it could be this. It's just saying, like, this is what we think it's not, basically. And it kind of goes through that. So if you look at this, you can kind of form a conclusion that it's like, well, this doesn't seem to be of Earth necessarily, you know, or man-made. In other words, it's not like a giant statement, but it's interesting enough because this guy is compiling all this information and talking about it in a way that's a little bit more diplomatic than just coming straight out and saying, yes, these are crafts that are that have aliens inside of them. But what's interesting is that he did use the word hybridization. But he said, but then it goes on to say that Pentagon employees are counting on him to do so.
Look at this. MK Ultra is an ongoing mind control program. No. I think we realize that that is not true after a few interviews we've had this week and other things that have gone on with John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, well, technically, if you want to get really super technical, MK Ultra ended. It no longer exists.
And there's a different project with a different name that it's being developed under now.
That's exactly it. It's like
Monarch or something like that.
Yeah, who knows what it is now. So we actually did an interview with Kathy O'Brien yesterday that will be published on Rumble in the future. And she is in the movie Trance that we have right now on Rise TV that you guys can watch. So amazing documentary.
And amazing interview.
Amazing,
like,
interview.
It was great. She was a beautiful person to interview. I mean, just so full of like life and positivity and just great wisdom and amazing what she's been through. Like, you guys got to check this interview out. It was one of our better interviews for sure.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, it was great. It really was great. Great movie too. So yeah, amazing documentary. All right, anyway, so Yeah, but the point of all of that was that he did come out and say that. I mean, he there was another article with him saying he testified about Roswell alien beings, DNA was found, and so yeah, and it was like
it says it here, alien beings, Ultra.
What'd you say?
Look. Is MK Ultra operational today? No, not as MK Ultra. But there are related research programs conducted by the ODNI Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Activity, IARPA.
IARPA. That's so fascinating.
So they are telling the truth here about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, no. This presentation is pretty amazing. And I couldn't even believe that I found it online. So it does go through a lot of stuff in this presentation. I mean, we could literally just spend a whole show just talking about this presentation of all the stuff in here and breaking everything down because it's very fascinating.
Well, maybe we'll just do that.
What is an agent? Wait, Lindsay, go back up. There are no agent employees of the CIA, NSA, NRO, DIA, etc. There are agents in the FBI, the DEA, Secret Service, and other.
So they call themselves officers.
Interesting.
So CIA officer.
Yeah. Wow. That's kind of cool. Okay.
As agents. Oh, wait, pull that back.
Yeah, pull it back up. Let's kind of go through it a little bit.
Agents are vetted foreign citizens with special access and influence in their own governments. Agents agree to cooperate with and provide information to the U.S. government. Agents are compensated monetarily or with goods and services. So they're like contractors.
Agents are, yeah. Wow. Very interesting. Goods and services.
Wait, listen to this. People who present themselves to the ufology community and claim to have been agents working in any of the five major agencies are imposters.
What? That's interesting because if they're like, oh, I'm a former CIA agent, it's like, no, you weren't because we don't have agents. In the CIA.
Because we don't call ourselves agents.
Yeah.
But what they were claiming though in that was that that's very strange, that page.
No, keep going, Lindsay. Well, we'll just keep talking about this for a little bit.
It's trying to say that it's that there are no agents and or officers. Officers are just administration of officials within the company, within the corp. The agency,
mm-hmm.
and agents are only foreign assets that are contractors. There are no agents. There's no such thing as an agent, but that's not true. So what is an agent then? What we commonly refer to as an agent, what is that? A CIA specialist? A CIA field? They would call it a field agent.
What's another word for, I mean, what would we say?
It's officer or agent or specialist or...
Specialist. Yeah, I heard that.
But a specialist would be someone more that was like operating certain types of technology that like, you know, survey and stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's really fascinating. Scroll down to the next one, Lindsay, because this is talking about the Russian UFO. So this Russian UFO is like kind of as it would be like equivalent to Roswell. It's
operative. Huge. Okay. Actually,
operative.
Operative. An asset. And operative. Yeah. And then C. Lojo said professional asset. Liar. Yes. Spot. Exactly.
Oh, man. Some of these comments about that are pretty funny. Anyway, yeah, so this is fascinating. So eyewitnesses account in Soviet TASS press report. And basically, yeah, there's a UFO. It's saying a star-like UFO that flew over Russia. And yeah, this is like just as big as Roswell. And the UK, they have the, is it the Rendlesham incident? I think I'm pronouncing that right. I could be pronouncing that wrong. Or I could be thinking of the wrong. I mean, I think that's the right one. But anyway, yeah, where a UFO crashed actually, and then these two military guys like encountered it, and they had a whole experience about it. It's pretty amazing, actually, when you really get into it. So, yeah, Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the Rendlesham Forest UFO. This is honestly, I would say, one of the biggest accounts in the world of what really happened. Or I mean, of like a situation of a UFO, and there was like time lost and everything. Okay. You want to close that, Lindsay?
You can close that, Lindsay.
All right. But yeah, this document, like I said, I mean, you can just kind of keep scrolling through this a little bit. You can go a little faster. But oh, wait, check out that photo though, on that top Soviet scientist in the USIC. These are real. By the way, that they're, were from government sources or military sources, I should say. So pretty interesting stuff, to say the least. And it was just pretty amazing that this dude compiled all this and was presenting this. And the next one is a, whoa, I didn't even see the next one. Go down, Lindsay.
What is that? Some kind of weird field.
It says ballistic missile countermeasure. Russia treats domes of light as UAPs. It looks like there was some kind of a potential ballistic missile training or something, and then maybe there was something that interfered with that. But according to Russia cosmonaut trainer, I'm just kind of looking at this, see what it says. These type domes are considered by Russia to
be this right here. The event. This is interesting.
In other words, yeah, these domes that we're seeing, they're looking at them as UAPs because they have no explanation of why these domes are forming.
Well, look at the second bullet here. It says plasma can envelop the Avangard hypersonic glide vehicle warhead as it skirts near space. This is one of the reasons they claim HARP was developed, is because enough frequency pumped into the ionosphere could actually disable warheads from even going into the level that they need to in order to come down on objects. And so what we could be seeing here is if they try to launch any missiles and HARP had a bead on it and they were pumping rays into the ionosphere, it would automatically, this might happen. What's going on here to stop the missile? So that could be it. And then they were like, well, what's going on here? Well, you tried to blow a missile into the, you know, ionosphere, and that's what happens.
Yeah, that could be. That could very, very well be. Well, we don't have to go into this whole thing. It does talk about Operation Paperclip later on in this document, and a lot of other stuff too. So
I like how over here on the right side of this slide it says "Happy Holidays." USSR and Russia have frequently tested missiles the day after Christmas.
Oh wow! How great! At least they didn't try to blow up the Earth the day of Christmas Day.
Right.
We'll just try to blow it up. You're like, after Christmas, that's
fine. Christmas time to have a happy new year. Let's test the missiles.
Oh man, so crazy. Well, let's see. Do we need to play another trailer, Lindsay?
We can do that now or in a few minutes. Up to you.
We can do that now, and then we'll get into the UFO towering over a Navy ship. Yeah,
sounds fun.
What does the government really know about UFOs? We wonder. Is every unidentified object in our skies just a weather balloon?
The saucers are weather balloons coming them up in the sky.
We think not. The CIA declassified 3,000 documents all about UFOs. But with that came a lot of questions. Why have these been hidden for so long? What truths do they uncover? What is still to be revealed? The CIA documents have many redactions, so what lies beneath them? We're asking the hard questions and getting into the UFO topic like never before. Get ready for the craziest things we found. It's the exclusive breakdown you've been waiting for. CIA Documents D-Class. UFOs.
You guys can find that on Rise TV as well. So, yeah, okay. So, glowing UFO towered over U.S. Navy ship in typhoon that was so big it stopped rain. So, in other words, it was like a Navy ship was out in the ocean and during nearly a typhoon, and this UFO craft went right over it, and it was so massive that it just made it stop raining on the Navy ship. And Rob, you can read a little bit of this if you want.
Sure. So Bob McGuire, who claims to have worked on classified projects on board several Navy vessels, previously revealed a chilling encounter while on a nuclear submarine. So speaking to Chris Leto on his YouTube channel, Bob recalled a huge shape hovering over the USS Blue Ridge in 2008. He explained, quote, while we were going from Thailand to Vladivostok, don't know where that is.
I don't know where that is either.
Calls in 2008, we went through a typhoon, and the typhoon had 90 knot winds and 40 to 50 foot seas. Quote, I was on the bridge and noticed that even though we were in a typhoon and it was raining like mad, there was no rain hitting the ship. I looked out the window and looked up and could see a glow above us in the sky. It wasn't very bright, but I could see it. Whatever it was blocking off the rain from the entire ship from stem to stern. Bob described the lights as yellowish and appeared to be on a flat surface. As he continued watching, the object suddenly grew brighter before taking off straight up. As soon as it did, the rain returned. The logical inference is that it was a gigantic craft that took off, he concluded. Wow. That's crazy.
So that city is in Russia, that Vladivostok or whatever it is. Yeah, I guess it's a city in Russia. So. That is a crazy story though. And you know, the other day we had that story about one of these Navy guys came out who was doing research on a submarine, and there was an object that was flying under, it was like flying. I don't know if flying is the word, but traveling underwater at the speed of sound.
Right.
So
that is crazy. Like, yeah. We were talking about that, right?
We were.
Like, yeah, what the sonic boom
was talking about on, I don't remember what day it was. Was it last Tuesday or last Friday? One of those days we were talking about it anyway. So, some of the stuff is newer. Some of the stuff is older that we were just kind of finding, because some of the stuff, like, I just kind of forgot about it myself. Like, one of the other things that came out was the UFO hacker who hacked into the NASA website back in the early 2000s. I think it was like 2001. And so he said he saw tons of images of like UFOs and crafts and all kinds of things. And they said his hacking caused more than $700,000 worth of damage. I don't really know if that's like true or not, but anyway, that's what they said. And so scroll down a little bit, Lindsay. You know, and back then it took forever to download an image, and he started downloading some of the images, and unfortunately he was booted off before he can get too many of them. But this is one of the images that he took on the NASA website, this one and the one below. And these are legit.
That looks like the Millennium Falcon right there. For sure.
I was going to say, it kind of reminds me of the transport ship in Star Wars or something. The second one looks like something from like,
That looks like something like that, from the Christmas tree, really zoomed in. Like
Buck Rogers or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
weird though.
Yeah, and he said, it is a fact that there are objects that we do not understand that are flying in our skies. It is also a fact that they are scientific, intelligence, and military departments that study these objects. I was absolutely stunned, and these folders had thousands of more images. Wow.
I mean, did that guy get put in prison or what?
He did. Yeah. Well, actually, so... he was extradited in 2012, but I don't know if he was actually, he was arrested in 2002, then again in 2005.
It's funny, you know, like he sacrificed a lot to try to get the truth out about something rather... I don't want to say unimportant, but like surprising that he would go through all of that. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, a lot of us want to know what was going on.
No, we want to know. All of us want to know what's going on, but then being put in jail to try to get it out is like surprising. Well,
especially now that we know these things are happening and they're real and everything, you know, back then I was like really wanting to know. Now it's
but we had the X-Files and there was a lot of evidence, you know?
True. Yeah. So, so I guess he didn't face charges in the UK, and I guess that's where he was. So I think he was thrown in jail for a little bit, and I think he's out now, if I'm not mistaken. So, pretty interesting stuff. But man, I wonder what's on there now. And actually, there is a really old video. Lindsay, can you show this video? This video is really fascinating because this is an official NASA video. And it's pretty old. And they're just launching one of the shuttles, I think, in space. And I think this is from the 80s. I could be wrong, though. Around like 220-ish, there's some interesting things that are going on, but so right now it's just showing the NASA thing.
Wait, Discovery CIC, how do you hear?
Now what's crazy about this video is that there's just constantly things being like just flying everywhere all around in this video and no one's saying anything about it. Just let it play, Lindsay.
Roger, we hear you loud and clear. For the upcoming mode 34, so like
for example,
at step 33,
the very top center,
you want you to roll you the
something
gimbal
moving.
To plus positive
what is that?
30 degrees.
Yeah, what is that?
Prior to MPC execute press.
They're not even. No, that one's moving kind of slow. No, you're going to start seeing a bunch of stuff.
Okay, we'll set the.
A really fascinating one around 2 minutes. See, there's another one.
I just saw that.
Yeah. And then it just gets like to the point where there's just a bunch.
There's another one.
From the RAM.
Two, three.
Right,
Understand.
Some of these go really fast, and some of them look like they're like coming out of Earth. Let's see, not much going on right now. Look at that one.
Currently receiving downlink from Discovery as it
passes. It's like moving all over the place.
Once again, the Cirrus is part of the AFP 675.
It's just so strange.
The problems that have occurred.
It's like
with
all of this is happening. They're not acknowledging
on
it.
AFP 675
and
had no impact.
And if they're going
on Cirrus,
into Earth,
Cirrus is performing quite well.
That would
well.
Be one thing. It's like, the, okay, well, they're meteorites,
the payload
maybe,
community,
you know? But these are coming out of
particular instrument is very happy with the active with the data that they've received.
And they're not satellites because they would be going around the.
Yeah, they're not satellites.
The primary payload on AFP 675.
So fascinating. Can you show the time, Lindsay?
In question, are what related.
That okay, so around 20. So coming here in about 10 seconds, we're going to see a really big one. if I'm not mistaken.
Which performs imaging.
It's going to come up from the bottom, I think. That's one of it right there. And this turn, this is the one that curves around even.
Which measures spectral and spatial characteristics of the Earth's horizon.
So it kind of like curves around and then kind of changes direction and goes up. And so that just shows right there that something weird is going on. And it's just so weird that they're not acknowledging any of this. It's almost like, oh,
they're used to it.
Yeah, it's like we can't even talk about it.
It's normal. And they watch it and see, look at it all the time.
Community.
Mm-hmm.
We still will be able to get some real-time data from those instruments.
So fascinating. Yeah. Pretty interesting.
Why didn't they acknowledge any of that? That's weird.
I know.
Like if any of us were watching that, we'd be like, whoa.
Yeah. And like probably back then too, you know, these things aren't posted on, there's no internet. They're not even being shown on TV, you know? So this is the kind of stuff that was just probably internally. And then, you know, it just someone happened to make a video of it somewhere and then just posted this thing. But this is 100%, you know, not that I trust anything NASA's doing, but it just shows that, you know, there's a lot of things going on in this video, as you can tell. So even that thing in the far right, you know, it's like that thing is moving really slowly. And then that, yeah, you know, it's just really super fascinating.
So many things. Like, mm-hmm. I wonder what a satellite would look like in comparison to some of these, because they seem to be going up, not just more diagonally up and not kind of.
Yeah. No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't, like, a satellite wouldn't be doing this. A satellite would just be, because depending on how fast that craft is moving, it wouldn't really necessarily be moving faster than the craft itself. So, yeah.
It just keeps
going. And it's going out of, it's like going up, you know. If these are satellites, they all go in one direction because they follow the orbit of the Earth. So that's what I mean. Like, we wouldn't be seeing them shooting, they wouldn't be shooting out of Earth. So it just shows, like, really how much stuff is, you know, flying around out in space. Actually, there's one more photo from NASA. That's so fascinating, though. Time to look at it. Yeah, Lindsay, can you show the NASA? Well, I'm calling it a Star Destroyer because that's what it looks like. And you're going to pull that up, Lindsay. There you go.
Whoa, that's like...
Yeah.
That's like a nacho-shaped UFO.
So this is all from NASA, you guys, like official NASA feed. I mean, that feed that we saw was from, like I said, the 80s or something. But this is as well. And, you know, most likely, I'm kind of suspecting these are probably more some kind of top secret government thing. Like,
this is like actual military technology.
Yeah, yeah. But pretty interesting, say the least. Yeah, because I mean, you can watch. I mean, NASA has their feed, and if you're, you know, someone's watching it, and on YouTube, you can find all these different feeds. Even of SpaceX, there's a lot of these kinds of crafts that go along SpaceX too in their videos. And in fact, one SpaceX craft had a close encounter with a UFO even after launching into orbit. So,
and then, this is interesting. Like, this looks like a TR-3B for sure, like in the daytime.
Yeah, that actually could be, you know, because we haven't really seen, I mean, there's some stuff out there, but I don't necessarily know if those are fake or not, you know. So this is interesting. Yeah, I kind of agree. This map, what we're looking at right now, it's over 90,000 reports of UFOs sightings dating all the way back to 1905.
Yeah, you see how it's really big down below New York? That's Washington, D.C. That big bubble on the right. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That big one. That's Washington, D.C. And,
that's crazy.
That's where I saw my first UFO.
Wow.
When I was in Washington, D.C.
Well, kind of like New York is all kind of included in that area. What's that big one? Is that in Michigan? Is that like around?
No, dude, New York is by the hook up there. Like,
oh, look at it's all around like Lake Erie and this, the lakes and stuff.
Yeah, there's definitely some New York, and like that's Lake Michigan, right there. The big one, that big bubble in the middle is actually Chicago. That's exactly where Chicago is.
That's so interesting. Yeah, Pine Bush, New York. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Whole lot. I think that's where that, I don't know, it's one of the smaller.
So is this a tweet, Ben?
This was a tweet that, someone found this data and posted this. I don't know if she made this map, I don't think he made this map. I think he just found it somewhere. I thought there'd be a lot more in California. So again, this is only like reports, like people actually reporting these in. So there's a lot of more that aren't reported, but yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's weird. New Mexico's got tons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, LA's pretty lit up too, but I was thinking it would be a little bit more. So, but that giant circle, I mean, the biggest circle on there is around DC, which is funny because I don't think that's listed as one of the top areas. So,
there's tons of UFO sightings there.
I guess they're like, that may be their home.
I mean, it's like the Pentagon's there. I mean, you know,
that's
right. So the military, like UFOs can be our own. They can be military. And so maybe there's tests being done in the Virginia or Maryland area, and you never know.
Yeah, never know. Lindsay, can you, for last one, can you pull up the SpaceX craft had close call with UFO and, there's still a lot we didn't get into, which we'll get into on Rise TV when we switch over. But show that one real quick. I thought, okay. Is it going to like show some long video?
As usual.
It's in that photo, but you can't see it. So, okay. I actually didn't watch the video. I thought it was, does it show it? Yeah, it shows it somewhere in there. Yeah, just play from like right there. Let's see if we see it.
Flight proven, crewed Falcon 9. See you side, crew 2.
All right. Anyway.
Right?
I thought it was going to show more.
It showed it in the bottom corner.
It did. Okay, cool.
Yeah, nearby the astronauts' feet outside.
Nice. Well, you guys, it's 8:30. We have a kind of like a hard cutoff because we're playing our premiere of our interview with Robert Earl White and his UFO encounter, or actually more of a crash that happened in his backyard when he was a little kid. And he goes in this whole story about what happened to him with documents and detail and everything else. So that's premiering tonight at 9 p.m. And so we're going to end up leaving Rumble here and head over to Rise TV. And we're going to explore more about space aliens and give you our top kind of weird worst UFO reports that we found. And also we're going to talk about the moon monoliths and what's on Mars as well. So definitely want to follow us over there. So so join us on Rise TV for the new holiday price for just $7 a month when you get the yearly subscription to support our work. And don't forget that your support lets us do these deep dives and bring you the truth that the censors definitely don't want you to hear. So now check out this trailer and then join us on rise.tv.
Are inflation, cow farts, pandemics, pizza with pineapple, and the rise of AI, the truth about the moon landing, gas prices, and hollow earth theories keeping you up at night? Not anymore. Let your cares melt away with our unique patented streaming platform, Rise.tv. For the special holiday price of $7 a month. In just minutes, you can get access to the platform that's changing a nation. No agendas, no censorship, no anger and targeting people. Amazing and inspiring shows like Edge of Wonder.
This episode may have some of the strangest information we found yet.
Man in America.
Geopolitics, history, but also faith and where we are at this time in history.
And Chronicles of a Psychic Spy.
We work outside the construct of the physical to know things that otherwise can't be known.
All just oozing with entertainment.
The hot pepper chip challenge.
We will give you a place to not only hear the truth, but also be uplifted and entertained.
Cheers.
And you'll have a community to share it with. Don't miss this special offer.
Oh, the powder goes down your throat.
For the holidays, our yearly subscription is more than 25% off. That's just $7 a month. What a steal!
All right.
Well, you guys, we got a lot of weird stuff to cover.
Yeah, we do. So,